Hello, this is Ed.
Hi, Ed. This is Luke calling from the Vancouver Media Co-op.
Yep.
Would you be willing to do a little interview with us right now about the circumstances of your arrest the other day?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, well, how about you tell us a little bit about it?
Okay, well, it was on Saturday after the heart attack action. I left Heart Attack and went to have lunch at the art gallery. I guess it was around 1 in the afternoon or something. Then I headed down to the Downtown Eastside Residents Association. I was going to go there to help out with prep for the tent city with Food Not Bombs. And I was riding down Hastings Street heading east. And as I approached Carroll Street, I saw about 12 to 15 police officers in Pigeon Park. There were about 4 or 5 of them lining the edge of the park from east to west. And there were about 8 to 10 of them standing around an adult male that was sitting on a bench. One of the officers there seemed to be hassling the guy or harassing the man on the bench and was going through his pockets and so forth. There was also a police officer, I didn't know at the time that it was a police officer, but there was one with a camera, like a medium-sized video camera. So I wanted to see what was going on, and I rode right up onto the sidewalk and into the park, and I pulled my bike like pretty close to this kind of circle of cops that were around the bench. And that was when I realized that there was no one around in terms of legal observers or anyone else. There were no activists around, only the cops and a few people in the park that were, you know, residents of Downtown Eastside. I could see that the guy on the bench was only slightly responsive to the cops, and he looked like he might be nodding off, or that he might be inebriated. But when I noticed that the cameraman slightly turned, and I said, "Hey, what's up?" And that's when I noticed that he was a police officer as well. At first, I was kind of relieved to see that Indie Media was there, or I thought that Indie Media was there. But when I noticed that it was another police officer, that's when I decided to leave. And I rode through the park back onto Hastings Street, really close to the line of 4 or 5 officers that were on the sidewalk. And one of the female officers said something like, "I know him," to the other police. And by then I was on Hastings heading east, and one of the male officers asked me if he could talk to me for a minute. And I said no, and I was already, you know, moving pretty fast down Hastings Street, and he yelled at me, "Hey, asshole." And I didn't respond. I just kept going. And then I realized I'd gone past Dira a little bit, and I jumped back up onto the sidewalk on the Dira side of the street and headed back to Dira. And that's when I saw the male officer that had called me an asshole coming towards me across the street, pointing at me and telling me to stop. He said, "You on the bicycle, stop right there. You on the bike, stop right there." So I actually rode up to him, and I asked him what the problem was. And he was very irate, very red in the face, and he was yelling at me, berating me for not stopping when he'd asked me if I could talk to him. And I just told him I didn't want to talk to him. And he said that it's illegal to ride a bike on the sidewalk, and that it's dangerous to ride your bike on the sidewalk. And I told him that I understood that. I understand that it's a bylaw infraction to ride my bike on the sidewalk. And about at that point, he said, "You're under arrest for obstructing a peace officer."
What was your actual charge then?
Actual charge is obstructing a peace officer.
And do you believe that you were, like, targeted because you were known as an activist?
Yeah, I think that's a good possibility.
Did you have anything seized or taken from you during your arrest?
I did, yeah. I had a few things taken. I had my backpack. I had a bunch of things in my backpack, and they searched it, and they took a stencil for sign-making and banner-making. And I also had a couple of documents taken. So as they were searching me there in Pigeon Park and they were searching my bag, the one officer that appears in the video was going through my bag, and he would take things out and make comments. One of the things that was in my bag that he found was the 2010 Welcoming Committee Marshals training manual. And he made a comment about that. He said, look, he has a manual. He has a training manual. And they all, you know, kind of snickered about that. And then I saw him looking at my dissertation proposal, which is it's a 15-page document that I'm working on. It's the running draft of my dissertation proposal.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't say anything about that. I saw him looking at it, trying to read it, kind of squinting. And I don't know, I think there are some big words in it, you know, that he might have been having a hard time with or something. Those three things, and they told me they were going to keep the stencil and try to match it to any tags around town to try to get me on a mischief charge as well. But I know that hasn't been used anywhere, so I'm not worried about that. But they also kept the two documents that I had. The 2010 Welcoming Committee manual is public domain as far as I'm concerned and as far as ORN is concerned. There's nothing in there to hide, you know, just, you know, how to treat people that have been exposed to tear gas or pepper spray or things like that. Now, they also confiscated my dissertation proposal, and that's a little more troubling to me.
Did, in the end, did they actually charge you, or were you only arrested?
Yeah, no, I was released on bail after 30 hours in band jail, and the charge stands for now of obstructing a peace officer, and I was released on the bail conditions to keep the peace and maintain good behavior.
Wouldn't you say that's a little extreme for, like, riding your bicycle on the sidewalk?
Yeah, I think so. You know, being arrested at all, I think, was in the extreme for sure.
So have you contacted the BCCLA or complained to any commission about this, or...?
Well, I have a lawyer.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. And he's working on it. He said that he could put in a request to get those documents back, but he's not sure what they'll say. Maybe they'll just say that they were lost or something like that. I mean, I find it interesting. See, I'm a fifth-year PhD student at UBC. I've been studying the chronically mentally ill adult population of the downtown east side for the better part of the last 5 years. I'm just at the end of my PhD studies, and I'm proposing what I'm going to write into my dissertation. A dissertation proposal, it's about a 15-page document that outlines several chapters. You know, there's a chapter in there that's critical of the Woodward's Project. It's an architectural case study. There's a chapter in there that writes up my internship that I completed last year under the mentorship of some of the folks at DERA, where I looked at quality of life amongst chronically mentally ill adults on the downtown east side across a variety of dwelling situations. So that's in there, and there's also chapters that outline the history of direct action on the downtown east side, like the Gastown riots and the Woodward squat, the original Woodward squat that led to what is now the massive Woodward's project. You know, that was so I'm outlining the squat that was carried out by the Anti-Poverty Committee. And I'm looking at, you know, ways that direct action protest has been effective. And honestly, you know, the events that are unfolding right now, from the Welcoming Committee March to the Heart Attack March to the Women's Memorial March and now to the Tent City on the downtown east side, this is all material that I'm going to write about as being effective forms of, you know, advocacy for social change, social justice, so to speak.
Cool, man. Well, thanks very much for the interview, and I wish you well.
All right, thanks a lot.